Good morning and welcome to our worship today. Today we celebrate the 175th anniversary of our Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, and at the same time we're also celebrating our Shepherd Lutheran's 10th anniversary. What a blessing it is that Jesus has chosen us to do his work through us. May God bless our time in his word today. We begin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Today, as we celebrate 175 years of God's grace to our synod and 10 years of grace to our congregation, it is good for us to be reminded how our history continues a story that has been unfolding since the beginning of time. Our struggles of the past and the present remind us that Satan is a real enemy who fights against the work of our God today, just as he fought against it since the creation of the world. But our Almighty God has taken action to save us. Let us be reminded of our God's saving activity through the ages, the victory that he now shares with us today. It was in Garden of Eden that Satan destroyed the relationship which existed between God and the crown of his creation. And it was in Eden that this tragic cry first arose from the human heart, "Lord, have mercy on us." When the time was right, God acted. He sent his one and only Son into the world to do for his creatures what they could not do for themselves. Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose again to renew the image that was lost in Eden. The church was founded to carry the message of restoration and renewal into all the world. Satan, but was not finished. He challenged the church's faith, the mission, with his evil influence. God preserved his church, often quietly, sometimes only a whisper. But even in the depths of darkness, the light of grace flickered. In the 4th century, when Satan attacked the deity of Christ, the church confessed, "We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God." And through the centuries, the battle continued. Often Satan seemed to be the victor. The cry of God's people continued, "Lord, have mercy on us." Satan was not finished attacking the church. "Lord, we must confess that we have given in to his temptations. We have failed to fear and respect you as we should. And like our parents, we have turned in rebellion from our ways. We have failed to love you with an undivided heart and mind, and we often have failed to love one another as you have commanded. And so often we despise your life-giving gifts of word and sacrament to chase after the dead things of this world. Lord, have mercy on us. We thank and praise you for not leaving us defenseless. You are our refuge and our strength. You sent your Son to be pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Because of Christ's sacrifice in our place, you promised that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. For your saving works, O Lord, we offer our thanksgiving on this special day. You are the God of faithful grace through the centuries, and the God who has faithfully carried us for the past years. We worship you, Lord. Today we pray, let us greet you, Lord, meet you here with singing, all our praises to you bringing. Lord God, Heavenly Father, the unfailing giver of every good and perfect gift, we ask you to always live among us with your holy word, so that by grace we poor sinners may be turned to you and be saved eternally. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The word of our God that we turn to today, first of all, is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, our Old Testament lesson, where the Lord speaks his word to our grandchildren and children through us. We begin reading at verse 1. Moses spoke as follows. He said, "Now this is the body of commands, and these are the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, so you may carry them out in the land to which you are crossing over to receive as a possession, so that you may fear the Lord your God by keeping all of his statutes and his commandments, which I am commanding to you, as well as to your children and grandchildren, all the days of your life, and so that your days may be long. Listen, O Israel, be conscientious about doing those things, so it may go well with you, and so you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words that I am commanding you today are to be on your heart. Teach them diligently to your children. Speak about them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as a sign on your wrists, and they will serve as symbols on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. This is God's word. And our gospel lesson for today is from Luke chapter 5. Jesus calls us, and he grants his blessing through us. We begin reading at verse 1. One time while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus, listening to the word of God, he was standing by the Galilee, and he saw two boats there along the lake shore. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Jesus sat down and began teaching the crowds from the boat. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered him, "Master, we worked hard all through the night and caught nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were about to tear apart. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." For Peter and all those with him were amazed at the number of fish they had caught, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Have no fear. From now on you will be catching people." After they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. This is God's word. We turn now then to our message for today on this anniversary service. A mother of four small children was critically injured in an automobile accident. It took nearly 3 months in a hospital and then a rehab facility to heal her wounds and mend her bones. During that time, her children were not allowed to visit, only to talk to mom on the phone. Finally, the big day arrived, and dad brought mom home. The oldest daughter met her at the door with delight. "Mommy, mommy," she screamed, "you're home." She gave mom a huge hug, and then she raced out to her siblings playing outside in the back. They never came into the home. After a while, dad looked out the window, and all four were playing as if they didn't even know mom was home. And the fact is, they did not. The oldest sister had joined them in playing and had never told her sisters that mom was home. That's a crazy story, isn't it? One that would never happen. Good news, like mom coming home, is for sharing. The oldest daughter would never have kept that to herself. My friends, the gospel is good news. The gospel is the good news of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, his life, his death, his resurrection, and it's meant for sharing. It's something we cannot keep to ourselves. And that is why we join together as a congregation, and why our congregation is one of over 1,200 joined together to form the Wisconsin Lutheran Synod. Today, that is our focus. As we celebrate the 10th anniversary of our church, the 175th anniversary of our synod. And we're going to do so by turning to Acts chapter 16. We'll do it in three parts. First of all, part one will focus on verses 1 through 15 of Acts 16. These are the words. Paul arrived in Derbe and in Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, who was the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. The brothers in Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, so he took him and circumcised him on account of the Jews who lived in those places, because they all knew that his father was a Greek. As he traveled through the towns, they delivered the resolutions decided by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to keep. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number day by day. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, because they were prevented by the Holy Spirit from speaking the word in the province of Asia. When they went as far as Mysia, they traveled to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they passed by Mysia, and they went down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul during the night. A Macedonian man was standing there urging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." As soon as Paul had seen the vision, he immediately made plans to proceed to Macedonia, because he concluded that God had called him to preach the good news to them. We're told after we put out to sea from Troas, we sailed straight to Samothrace and the next day to Neapolis. From there we went to Philippi, which is a leading city in that part of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We stayed in the city for a number of days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate alongside the river, where we thought there was a place of prayer. We sat down and began to talk to the women who had gathered there. A woman named Lydia, who worshipped God, was listening. She was a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. The Lord opened her heart to pay close attention to what Paul was saying. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So what do we hear in these opening verses of Acts 16? We hear how a missionary team was sent out, led by the Spirit. They shared the gospel, and hearts were being opened. Today, the Arizona Cardinals are going to be playing the Green Bay Packers. And as both of those teams take the field, the burning question has been, like, will Kyle Murray, the quarterback of the Cardinals, be able to play? Will Jordan Love have a good game? It so often focuses just on the quarterback. But it takes a team to play and win. You need a guy who hikes the ball to the quarterback. You need the guy who catches the ball that the quarterback might throw, or he runs with the ball. So while the quarterback gets so many headlines, all of the players are important. Each one has a role. Each one is a part of the team. And that was also true of the missionary team that landed in Macedonia with the gospel. We all know of the Apostle Paul, but Paul didn't do the ministry alone. There was Silas and Timothy and other missionaries who were part of the team. Each one of those guys was important. Each one played a role, was part of the team. And that's also true of our team, our Shepherd Lutheran. We know from the Bible that all of us, from the youngest to the oldest, have been given a precious gift that we call faith, and that along with that faith, we have been given unique talents and abilities that we can use to serve our church and Lord. The missionary team that we hear of in Acts 16, it was trained, it was sent out. They were trained by other pastors, which is still the same today. When I graduated from the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary in 1983, every one of my professors was a pastor. 27 years later, when my son graduated from the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary in 2010, every one of his professors was a pastor. That training is top-notch, and you and I support that with our offerings that our church gives to our church body. Acts 16 covers the start of Paul's second missionary journey, and they were sent out by the mother church back in the city of Jerusalem. Even though they were far apart from one another, that bond was connected through the love of God, through faith. Well, along with our 10th anniversary here of our church, we're celebrating that 175th of the Wells. Wells, like the NFL, which stands for National Football League, Wells is an acronym. W is for Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is where the Synod had its roots. E for evangelical, because that's what we are. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were evangelists. They wrote and they spoke the good news of Jesus. An evangelical church is a gospel-preaching church. L is for Lutheran, because the founder of our faith was Martin Luther. And S is for a synod, because we are a gathering of people, of congregations, that are preaching the evangelical truth. Our synod, supported and by congregations like ours, sends out pastors, teachers, and missionaries, all led by the Spirit to share the gospel. It's the gospel alone that opens hearts to believe. The opening verses of Acts 16 teach us how important it is to be united as a congregation and a church body. With that, we go to our second part, verses 16 to 24 of Acts 16. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl met us. She had a spirit that foretold the future, and she made a large profit for her owners by fortune-telling. As she followed Paul and us, she kept crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way to be saved." When she kept doing this for many days, Paul became so annoyed that he turned to the spirit and said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. When her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. They had brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men are throwing our city into a state of confusion. They are Jews, and they are teaching customs that are not lawful for us to accept or practice, since we are Romans." When the crowd also joined in the attack against the missionaries, the magistrates tore off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had been beaten severely, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to guard them securely. Because he received such a command, the jailer threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Well, to go back to that base football game in Glendale today, each team's going to do whatever they possibly can to grind each other into the ground. Well, Paul's missionary team was also faced with a tough opponent in the city of Philippi, and the real opponent was Satan. Satan was using that slave girl who was telling fortunes to make a fortune for her owners. Her shouting was not an attempt to preach the gospel, but rather to hurt it. She spoke the truth, but in a deceitful way. And in love, Paul called on the power of the Most High to drive that demon out of her, and it did. And as we might expect, the owners didn't react kindly. Paul had cut them off from their source of income, and they took their anger out on Paul and his co-workers. They were thrown into jail. And from that we learned that wherever the gospel is preached, the devil is going to be working. He's going to do whatever he possibly can to defeat it. But we also learned that the devil may have his way with us, but not against the Lord. Jesus defeated the devil on that cross. He paid for the sins, our sins, with his blood. And through his death, he has given us life and salvation. Now we turn then to a final part, the final verses of Acts 16. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Instantly all the doors were open and everyone's chains came loose. When the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted with a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, because we're all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell down, trembling in front of Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to everyone in his home. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Without delay, he and all his family were baptized. Then he brought Paul and Silas into his house and set food before them. He rejoiced because he and his whole household had come to believe in God. No matter how hard I try, there are some things I just cannot understand. I cannot understand what it's like to give birth to a baby. I cannot understand what it's like not to feel loved. I cannot understand despair so overwhelmingly that I would be ready to take my own life. But sadly, for many people, the last two things are something that they can understand. They can understand what it's like not to be loved. And they can understand despair so overwhelmingly that they would be ready to take their own lives. One such man was the jailer at Philippi. The Lord uses us as a church and as a synod at work to share his love for all and to take away despair. And that's an incredible, awesome privilege. After giving us his love, the greatest blessing that Jesus now gives to us is that we have the privilege to share his love. We do that in such a simple yet marvelous way. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's it. That's all Paul said. That's all he had to say. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of running out of his cell to freedom, Paul in love reached out to the jailer, who was filled with that fear. And through the preaching of the gospel, the Holy Spirit filled him with faith. Paul had the answer to life's most important question. What must I do to be saved? The answer is nothing. Jesus did it all. The gospel Paul used to proclaim Christ was the gospel that brought the jailer to faith. Through water of baptism, he and his family became children of God. He was filled with joy. It might not be in a jail cell, but every day we come into contact with people just like the jailer at Philippi. People filled with fear. People who don't know the answer to life's most important question. What must I do to be saved? On the surface, they might not even care. So what do we need to do? We need to probably have a deeper conversation with them. And, Lord willing, then be able to ask the most important question. What must you do to be saved? And then be ready with that right answer. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. If the Cardinals and the Packers, well, one of those teams are probably going to lose today. But no matter which team loses, the sun's still going to come up tomorrow. But to those who are lost in the fear and despair of unbelief, the sun might not come up tomorrow. The winners are those who in faith can say, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." The gift of faith comes from sharing the gospel. The gospel, the cross, the love of God. That's why we are united as a Christian congregation, and why we as a congregation have joined with all the others to form the Wisconsin Synod. Happy anniversary. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll close with a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. God bless you. God bless your week. Amen.